You are now listening to the Heroes for Sale podcast. Whether you are a new collector or a seasoned pro, on a daily basis, I cover topics to help you grow your hobby knowledge and strategies to make you money in the market. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. My name is Adam. I am your host. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about a couple news stories slash sales that I saw this weekend. Also, I was at the Boston Card Show. That was pretty, it was awesome because I got to meet more people this time. I think the first show that happened in April, it was still like, you know, there was still everybody was wearing masks. I don't think anybody was really, you know, or at least I didn't really meet anybody. I'm sure other people did, but there wasn't much like, you know, I think it's different when you can go up to someone and you can kind of like shake hands and like interact and you can actually see each other's facial expressions and it's not like behind the masks that everybody was wearing. So it was cool to, you know, I met people, like I said, I met people the last show, but I actually got to interact with, you know, a lot of people from companies. You know, I met the Fresh guys from Fresh Pulls down in Peabody. That was super cool. I met a couple of guys from Whatnot. There was a ton of people. I met Ryan from Card Collector too. I mean, the Beantown Hobby. I met like a bunch of people, and I'm not going to keep naming people because then I'm going to forget people and I'm going to feel bad. So, this weekend there was a couple things that happened. So first we'll talk about the two sales that I think were pretty significant, one sale that was significant, and then one sale that was part of the kind of a collection. So we'll talk about this. The first one we'll talk about is the Bird Magic card that sold for the PSA 10, the one of 24 PSA 10s, I believe, that sold for just over $500,000. It was bought by Rob G, who owns the PSA 10 or PSA 9 Mantle that was sold back in January. And I think this card starts to become more iconic as we start to go on, and more people, I think, are getting into cards, and I think it's going to continue because I don't think the growth in the hobby was really necessarily as affected as people getting in, because I think people got, like, over the past 18 months, I think a ton of people got in, but I realistically think it was a ton of people that spent a ton of money right away, and also a ton of people that already had the cards that were selling cards because they 10x'd in, like, 6 months. So I think people are going to continue to get in, and I think it's going to be maybe a little bit slower than it was in the past 18 months or so, but I still think people are getting in. So, you know, older people with money are going to get in. They're going to see a card like that. They're going to say, well, this is the Larry Bird Magic Johnson rookie. Julius Erving, I think, has other cards, so I'm not 100% sure if it would be considered his rookie as well. I don't think so, because most of the time whenever I see the card reference, it's the Magic Larry Bird card. So one of 24 PSA 10s sells for $500,000 to Rob G, which is phenomenal. I think it was valued at $500,000, and I think the night that it was going to sell, I was getting a little bit nervous because I think it was in the $350,000 range, and I guess it must have kept going up during the extended bidding period because I woke up and that's what it sold for. And I think, honestly, we may even be looking at, like, if you like that card also, I think that the 81 Bird and the 81 Magic as well, but I think the 81 Bird PSA 10 is a phenomenal buy if you like that card, because I think it's going to be very similar to the Jordan Fleer card in the sticker, because back then there wasn't like 100 different products like there is now. There was basically the one product. Like, there is the 186 Fleer product that had the Jordan card in it. There was one 1980 tops, and then 1981 tops that had for basketball. So I actually think that 81 Larry Bird card is actually a very, very interesting card if you like this other card, or you like the Bird, you know, I'm going to call stuff vintage because it's older, but I know that vintage is technically categorized as like 1970, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but I know, like, from that era, there is a specific time frame of when vintage is considered vintage, but I'm just going to call it vintage because it's from that 1980 time period. But I think that card's very interesting. I think the 1981 Bird technically isn't a rookie, but I think it essentially is, because it's his second card, but it's like it's in, I don't know, like, I think I kind of explained why I think it's not, like I said, not a rookie, but I think it has the value of a rookie card because it's his first singular person card. I think that's what kind of gives it sort of that rookie value, even though it's not a rookie. The other sale that happened this weekend that was big was the 1933 PSA 9 Babe Ruth card that sold for $4.2 million. That also was part of the collection, which if you haven't heard this story, I definitely suggest go checking it out. So there was a doctor in Florida who passed away recently, and he just had this like insane collection, and insane to the point where he passed away recently, and they were selling off the cards. I'm sure the money, I don't know what they're doing with the money, it doesn't really matter. But the entire collection also had a 1916 PSA 6 Babe Ruth and a 1952 PSA 8 Mickey Mantle, and then the 1933 PSA 9 Babe Ruth. And those were probably the three biggest cards, but overall, there were a couple other cards that were in this collection. And overall, the cards sold for $21.5 million was the final amount for all the cards in this collection that sold. You know, obviously wild. I think that's probably the highest Babe Ruth card. I know there was like the collectible had the card that sold, but that ended up being the valuation, like what happened with the Steph Curry card, so that wasn't technically a sale. Like, I wouldn't consider that a sale. Like, if at some point one person buys that Babe Ruth card or the Steph Curry card, you know, that's a sale. But I don't necessarily think, I think the valuation obviously puts it at that high, but I don't necessarily think it's a sale, you know. And that's just my opinion. Some people may say, well, it is a sale because, you know, if it were to sell, it would sell for this amount technically, but, you know, I'm not 100% sure about that. But either way, so I think this is one of the most expensive sales of the Babe Ruth card at $4.2 million. And, you know, I don't think in my opinion, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. No, that's not it. I don't think it's unrealistic to say that vintage is like it's always been like the move, in my opinion. Like, vintage stuff has always been where I think the, like, big dollars are going to come out. Because I think with modern stuff, yeah, sure, like, you know, the Luka PSA, or the Luka National Treasures 1/1, like, everybody knows that's an important card, sells for $4.2 million. But I think with it being from 2018, I don't know, there's just something about the cards being older that makes them more valuable, I guess. Which is, you know, obviously why this was the highest grade, and it's a 1/1. There's only one population of this, the 1933 Babe Ruth card as well. That's another reason why it sold for $4.2 million. And speaking of the Mantle, so this is going to be kind of the last part of the conversation here with some of these older cards. There was on display in Colorado, which I saw this video popping up on my feed while I was at the show, and I was like, oh my God, wow. One of the PSA 10s was on display at a museum in Colorado for the All-Star Game. And I've been trying to find the third PSA 10 because this one's been sort of notable because I think this person has put the card on display a couple times, so there is images of this card. Now we have some pretty high-res images of the card, which is great. And then the other card is part of the like D-backs collection, which I think is the owner of the Arizona Diamondbacks has one of the PSA 10s, and I think he got it re-slabbed. And I think when you own one of these cards, like, I'm pretty sure Steve Aoki owns one of the PSA 9 or PSA 10 Pikachu Pokemon Illustrator cards, which is, like, extremely rare. I think that might be either a 1/1 or, like, there's only a few of them because he got that card re-slabbed, and I think his says Aoki Collection. And I think there's another card that I remember. It was a Reggie Jackson PSA 10. I think that also has a, like, named collection on the slab, I'm pretty sure. Oh, there's also Logan Paul, I don't really care about that, but his name is on the Logan Paul collection, whatever, it doesn't really matter. But, so this PSA 10 was on display, and it really got the conversation started of, like, what the value of that card is. And I saw a bunch of people saying it's in the $20 to $30 million range. I think it's in the $25 million range. I think I don't know if I projected it or if I thought that it was like, because I remember I put out my predictions from the beginning of the year, and one of my predictions was that one of the PSA 10s was going to sell. Now, one of the PSA 9s sold about a month later, and that kind of sort of validated my thoughts on it, card selling. I didn't think of PSA 9 selling for 5.2 and breaking the record like that. I mean, I thought that was a pretty crazy card. So that card being 5.2, also being back in January and looking at where we're at, and, you know, I guess you could look at it and say, well, some of the market's down, some of it's not. But I think a lot of this vintage stuff keeps breaking records. Like, you know, the Bird card broke a record. The PSA, I don't know, I guess I could use the PSA 9, the PSA 9 Mantle. That obviously broke a record. But we're seeing records kind of across the board. Some of these high-end cards continue to break records. So I think with how many of these cards or how many records of vintage and older cards have sold, I do think that the PSA 10 is in the $25 million range. And, you know, I got into kind of an argument with someone on TikTok, which I don't necessarily know if they were actually trying to argue or if they were just, like, trolling, because a lot of the stuff that they were saying, like, I would say something and they would just disagree with me, like... And it was literally like they would, like I said that, like they were saying that no one cares about Mickey Mantle. I'm like, I mean, that's just not correct. And they're like, well, none of the vintage older stuff sells. I'm like, well, if you can go to eBay and you can find stuff from the 50s and 60s that sells pretty frequently. And they were like, no, it doesn't. I'm like, okay, I don't know what else there is really to say. Like a bunch of times I tried to just be like, hey, like I'm all set here. Like I was like, I literally, like, cause they said like get a lot, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't really matter. So, $25 million. Sure, maybe it's a little bit clickbaity. Maybe it is, but like at the same time, like that's actually what I think. Like it's not like I'm saying that this is a $50 million card and then being like, actually, I think it's 25. I think it is 25. And I think the other thing about this card that's on display that I didn't notice at first, to be completely honest. I didn't notice it until someone pointed it out. So the NBA, which I think is the Mike Baker or Mike Becker authentication, that company graded cards. The PSA 10 has one of these, the MBA stickers on it. And you know, the interesting thing is that I saw a lot of people like sort of laughing about it, like being like, wow, I can't believe this card. It's like, but in my opinion, I think that just means that it's time that we probably start thinking about graded cards being graded again and the importance of that. Like, I need to go back and find the podcast because I know for a 100% fact that I talked about that company previously, I know for a fact, but I've also talked about at what point we start having to regrade or get graded cards grading, because there's so many modern cards that I think vintage, it's probably pretty safe, but I think with modern cards, like, when I had my two Lukas, like, they were both off-centered a little bit, the ones that I sold, like, a year ago. So they were PSA 10s, but, like, they weren't really super-centered. So it's like, I just think that graded cards is going to happen, whether it's PSA opens up another branch with an AI, or it's the NBA where they start grading the graded cards and they put a sticker on there. I just think it's time to take that concept more seriously, and at first I was like, wow, like, because my initial thoughts were that's very interesting that this card, that the PSA 10 of the holy grail of sports cards has one of these stickers on there, has an extra level of grading on it. You know, does it make it more valuable? I don't necessarily know whether that makes it a more valuable card if it has this kind of sticker and it was regraded. Like, I think that it almost does help it a little bit, in my opinion. Like, it helps it compared to maybe some of the other PSA 10s, because you're like, well, I decided to get it either, you know, regraded or grade evaluated or whatever they're going to call it eventually. But, like, this is what's going to happen. Like, more of these companies are going to start grading graded cards. And I think at the beginning, they didn't really launch MBA. Let me just actually, I'm going to look it up really quickly, because I know it is a big deal. and I just want to make sure that I'm getting the person's name right. Mike Baker. Baker. That's his name. So that, in my opinion, it's a big deal that that card has the sticker on it. And like I said, I just think that it's strange to see people not take it seriously. Like, the fact that the person who has this card is willing to send it in to get regraded or get the sticker or whatever, it's important. And I think it's definitely less of, like, a joke, like, people made it. And I think just a... I think it's more of, like, a wake-up call for people who have cards that are high population and have a PSA 10. Because, look, if we're being honest here, like, not all PSA 10s are graded equally. And I've talked about this in the past with, you know, grading being sort of subjective because it's a person doing it. And then there are some people that have reached out and been like, well, it's not really subjective. And it's like, I understand there are going to be guidelines and there are going to be things where it's like, you have, this is the grade. But it's like, and with PSA, like, I know that their grading is like a 60-40, I believe what it is, between the centering. Like, I think they grade centering a little bit easier. But I just think if you have, like, a Luka or you have, like, a Zion PSA 10, and it's one of 18,000 PSA 10s for either of those two cards, like, I think that it's... I think what... You know what I think it is? I think it's that people don't want that to happen because they know that there are... There's a percentage of those PSA 10s that don't deserve to be PSA 10s. And if they owned 10, 15 of them, it's like they could probably look at them and say, this card probably shouldn't be a PSA 10 because of the centering or because of whatever, for whatever reason. So it's like people want to put the regrading into a conversation that's like, we're not going to take this seriously because we, and that is, I'm making, this is my thought process when I would think about it, is like, we don't, which is not what I think, but this is what I think people think. We don't want this to become a thing because we own five of my 15 PSA 10 Lukas should not be PSA 10s. I just think getting another level of grading in there is going to be important. And the fact that this card has the extra grading on it means that we are moving into, I think we're going to move into an era where there's going to be more companies that are either grading graded cards or you're going to be able to send a PSA 10 back to PSA and either they'll regrade it and put it into a different slab. Like, that's, if I were PSA, that's potentially what I would do. No, actually, I probably wouldn't do that because then that hurts the reputation. If I were PSA, I wouldn't do anything, but if I were starting another company, I would make some sort of new label that says this PSA 10 is a, you know, I know Mike Baker does it with, like, I think the black, I think they have a gold and a silver sticker. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's what it is. But, like, that's sort of how I would get put it into a new slab or, like, put the slab into a slab. I don't know exactly how it goes or what they do, but I just think that the regrading is going to happen. And that's something that we need to think about. Like, I think it's almost, like, I think PSA is going to get harder, in my opinion, with, like, their grading standards because they... If I'm PSA, like, I think what happened with PSA over the past 18 months was that they didn't want to accept the fact that they were so far behind, so they just were churning out grades as quickly as possible, and then it literally just got to the point where they're like, we literally can't do this anymore. Like, we can't grade any faster because it's actually hurting the reputation, and I think maybe that's what even happened with why there's so many PSA 10s. It's like, they just were churning them out and giving out the grade, and if it was close to a PSA 10, they gave it a PSA 10, and now they're at the point where they're like, we need to stop doing this because it's actually hurting our reputation, and it's actually hurting the company's reputation, I guess, would be kind of the main thing that I would be worried about if I were PSA and how quickly they were getting some of these cards graded out. Yeah, but I mean, so that it was a big weekend for stuff, big weekend for old cards, for PSA, for Mickey Mantle, for sports cards, but that's basically all I've got for this episode of the podcast. I want to thank you all for listening. Make sure you go follow on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, all those places. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.